WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. Hopefully you guys are having a fantastic day. We have a fantastic show in store for all of you. Today, we will break down Keith Appling finally making his NBA dream come true, signing a deal with the Orlando Magic. Also, Brad Ausmus, manager of the Detroit Tigers, says, pump the brakes. This season is not over for us. He actually even held a team meeting yesterday. We'll discuss what that means. Also, Barbershop Wednesday is on tap. We continue our discussion. We kind of previewed it yesterday, but we continue that discussion on whether or not we will ever see a female NBA head coach. Of course, Becky, the Hammond, of course, of the NBA San Antonio Spurs. She led the team to the Summer League Championship. We'll discuss whether or not we will ever see that in the near future. Also, you'll get a sneak peek preview of pretty cool team, cheer team, competitive cheer team at that, Alton DeWitt, that is heading to Japan. You do not want to miss that story. All of that and so much more. If you want to call in right now and give your thoughts on anything we discuss, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this July 22nd. All right, folks, let's begin things by talking about the Detroit Tigers. A pinch hit grand slam from Franklin Gutierrez in the eighth inning sent the Seattle Mariners ahead for good, hanging on for an 11-9 win over the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers' second loss with a blown late inning lead in their last eight games was a potentially crushing blow in their effort to crawl back closer in the AL Central and wild card races as trade rumors build around Detroit ahead of the July 31st non-waiver trade deadline. They dropped under 500, sitting at 46-47 with the loss. Detroit Tigers manager, though, Brad Ausmus, isn't ready to give up on the season despite reports that the team's front office is preparing itself to be a deadline seller for the first time in years. Ausmus said, quote, "We are four games out of the wild card spot. I wouldn't say we are falling out of the race," Ausmus told reporters that on Tuesday. "I'm disappointed in our record, no question, but I don't subscribe to the theory that we are out of it. Four games out of a playoff spot is far from out of it." Ausmus held a team meeting before the Tigers' 11-9 loss to the Mariners, but he wouldn't divulge details other than to say that nobody is giving up. Ryan McBroom blasted a two-run home run in the sixth to set up Connor Fisk's first Midwest League win, 2-1, in the opener of a three-game series between the Lansing Lugnuts and Bowling Green Hot Rods Tuesday at Cooley Law School Stadium. McBroom jacked a shot on the grass in left field to break a scoreless game and score Jason Lebobligian. The All-Stars blast against Yanni Chirinos marked the first runs the starter allowed in 23 innings. All right, the team that captured the heart of a nation is coming to Detroit. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is taking a 10-match victory lap after winning the World Cup and will play Australia on September 17th at Ford Field. Now, the 7 p.m. friendly also will be televised by Fox Sports 1. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. on July 31st at ussoccer.com. Former Detroit Piston Damian Wilkins had a team-high 21 points plus 10 rebounds as the United States rallied to beat Venezuela 85-62 in the opening match of the Pan American Games men's basketball tourney Tuesday night in Toronto. Now, the U.S. trailed 41-33 at halftime. Michigan State star Denzel Valentine played a team low 4 minutes for Team USA. He was 0 for 2 from the field and had 2 fouls and 1 rebound. Next up for the US of A is a game against Puerto Rico at 9 p.m. tonight on ESPN2. James Harden finally defeated Steph Curry, folks, following a season in which Curry won nearly everything there was to win. Harden was the choice of NBA players as the winner of the first NBA Players' Choice Award for MVP announced on Tuesday, edging Curry, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook. And also concerning Steph Curry, got to shout out his brother Seth Curry, who signed a deal, $2 million deal, with the Sacramento Kings. The Tennessee Titans have locked up their top draft pick, quarterback Marcus Mariota, 9 days before the players report for training camp. The team announced that yesterday. Financial terms will not be revealed. The 4-year deal includes a 5th-year team option, which is standard for all first-round draft picks. Mariota was the last unsigned first-round pick from this year's draft. And last but not least, after an uncertain offseason packed with tension, hard feelings, and distrust, the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings that is, and Adrian Peterson have officially renewed their vows. The Vikings announced Tuesday that they and their star running back mutually agreed to restructure the final 3 years of Peterson's contract. Exact terms were not disclosed, but the deal reportedly includes $20 million in guaranteed moolah for Peterson in 2015 and 2016 combined, something is his old contract lacked. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Being the fifth chairman that came out of the Big Ten in the tournament's history, it really provides a level of communication, a level of connection for this school with a broad number of people well beyond intercollegiate athletics. It exposes me personally to some amazing people, but it also takes the Michigan State name, the Michigan State brand, and really makes us part of something that's bigger than the boundaries of East Lansing.
Welcome to the show. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And that was the voice of Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis, who has spent, you know, the past 7.5 years as Athletic Director at Michigan State. Congratulations to Mark because, of course, he has been named Vice Chair of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Committee for the upcoming season and chair of the committee for the 2016-17 academic year. How about that? And, you know, of course, these past 3 years, Mark has been a member of the committee and obviously the man who I like to call the hardest working man in college athletics. The man is doing a good job, seeing as though they have donned him with that responsibility. I tell you what, the brand of Michigan State continues to grow with that news. Folks, we've got a great show in store for you. I'm excited. It is Wednesday. Wow. I can't believe it's already Wednesday. Of course, each and every Wednesday here at our WKAR TV studios, we record Current Sports TV. I'm always excited. This week, actually, later on around 3 o'clock after I get off the airway, I will be sitting down with Tori Franklin, who is a, you know, she actually just wrapped up her career with the Michigan State track and field team. You know, she's got so many honors, so many accolades. You know, of course, she competed in jumps here at Michigan State. She participated in long jump and also triple jump. But Tori will be in the house with me. Of course, we had Tori on the radio show. I believe that was last month we had her on. And you talk about another student athlete who's not shy being in front of the mic. Tori Franklin is not shy at all, folks. Last week we had Darian Harris, Michigan State star linebacker. He was fantastic, and we continue that trend this week. So looking forward to sitting down with Tori. I'm looking forward to also bringing you guys a pretty cool feature on today's radio show that you'll get the chance to see the visual of on this week's TV show as well, and that being the DeWitt High School Varsity Competitive Cheerleading Team. This is my first time ever doing a cheerleading story, folks. And, you know, I feel like in the sports world and sports fans out there, there's a certain feeling whenever cheerleading is brought up and considered as a sport. I personally do think it should be considered as a sport because, you know, the training that, you know, these young women undergo and endure and, you know, the flexibility that it takes, it's really unbelievable to see it in work and in action. And, you know, there are many out there that look at the sport and say, well, you're just rooting on a team, but they don't look at the competitive cheer side of things. I mean, that takes a lot of athleticism to do what they do. Especially, I mean, you guys have seen the cheerleading injuries, you know, where, you know, a lift has happened and, you know, they are very, very high, you know, above the ground when they're getting lifted, folks. And we've seen mishaps happen and serious injuries incur in the sport of cheerleading. And I have a lot of respect for it, folks. And this was actually my very first cheerleading story as a sports reporter. And it was a doozy. First off, the DeWitt cheerleading team, I mean, they were so inviting. I got a chance to meet a living legend when you talk about DeWitt athletics, and that being, of course, Deb Rambo, who has been coaching the team for 27 years. Actually, this upcoming month, she will call it quits and will be retiring from the program. 27 years is a long time, and she has certainly paid her dues and just wants to max tax and relax right now. We can certainly understand that. But she will be missed from the program, and she is going to miss the program. I mean, talking with her earlier this week, she is, you know, she voiced that, yeah, she's going to miss, you know, seeing the girls and interacting with them and just the overall sport itself. So, hey, what a way to send her out with a bang, because if you haven't heard, the DeWitt Varsity Competitive Cheer Team is in Japan as we speak. They are actually, you know, there's a lot of weight on their shoulders right now because they are representing the entire country, the entire U.S. of A. Talk about pressure, right? They are partaking actually in a high school cultural festival out in Shiga, Japan, where, you know, this year they have decided to highlight the sport of competitive cheer. They are the only cheer team from America to be invited, but pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So we'll actually play that feature on today's radio show. You do not want to miss that, folks. We'll also bring Barbershop Wednesday to you again. Will we ever see a female NBA head coach? Becky Hammon did one unbelievable job in the NBA Summer League, leading the San Antonio Spurs to the title. Again, it is Summer League, but still, it shows that Becky Hammon does know her stuff. She knows the X's and O's of the game, and, you know, not anyone can do that. So will we ever see, I mean, with Becky winning that title, you know, are we that much closer to seeing a female NBA head coach in the game today? We'll debate about that. But I first want to talk about a former Michigan State hoop star who is finally making his NBA dreams come true. And who I'm talking about is, of course, Keith Appling. Former Spartan Keith Appling has actually reached a 2-year deal with the Orlando Magic. Appling, of course, was not drafted following a standout career at Michigan State. And, you know, he had a really interesting road to where he's at right now, folks. I first want to talk about Appling's road to the NBA. He goes undrafted in 2014. He's invited to play in the LA Lakers training camp before last season began. He then, you know, goes to the D League, averages 17.5 points with 4.7 assists per game after being acquired in a trade from the LA Defenders. He goes to the D League, impresses, you know, he plays in the Summer League, and, you know, eyes start to pop. First off, the numbers that he averaged in the D-League, that's pretty impressive. I mean, 17, you know, points, almost 18 points per game, 4.7 assists. And again, Appling's road to where he's at now is not like, you know, the top draft picks that we've seen, obviously, because those guys were top draft picks. I mean, they go straight to the NBA and have a chance to make an immediate impact coming into their rookie season. But again, Appling, even going further back, you know, from the NBA draft and highlighting his time at Michigan State, we all remember what took place in the first half of the Michigan State versus North Carolina men's basketball game in December of 2013. Appling goes up, he comes down awkwardly on a drive, and comes down on his hip and his wrist, injured both on the fall. And I remember when that moment happened, first off, we barraged Tom Izzo after the game with questions on the condition of Keith Appling. And, you know, Tom really didn't know because, you know, he still had to do some tests and you know, we wouldn't know until the coming days when, you know, to see what x-rays would reveal and to see how Keith was feeling. So Tom initially didn't really know how serious it was, but we do know that Keith Appling left the game and didn't come back. So it was pretty serious, you know, we're just looking at that. Again, and, you know, Keith Appling had an interesting quote. After last, two seasons ago, after that season was all said and done and the dust had cleared and settled. And Keith talked about how he wished that he would have rested, that he would have let his wrist heal. Because it wasn't so much, even though he fell on his hip and his wrist, his hip was relatively fine, he admitted. I mean, his hip wasn't, you know, it wasn't too big of a hindrance. But that right wrist, his shooting wrist, that really took a lot of confidence away from Keith Appling. He didn't look like the same player. Prior to that injury in December, you could have made a pretty healthy argument that Keith Appling was a National Player of the Year candidate. I mean, his numbers were through the roof. He was playing outstanding. Then he goes down, and he looks like a shell of himself from that point on in the season the rest of the way. And, of course, we all know what happened. Michigan State, you know, they came just short of reaching a Final Four. They were beaten by Shabazz Napier in UConn, and we all know the image of Keith Appling with his face in his palms, looking down at the floor, reporters all around him, mics in his face, and all you hear is Keith Appling's faint voice of disappointment. That moment, I believe, and that season really motivated Keith Appling because he came in the NBA, folks, with a chip on his shoulder. And going back to that quote, again, he said he wished he would have rested more throughout that final season at Michigan State, giving himself and that wrist a chance to heal. Actually, as the year went on, it was really revealing, folks. That wrist injury, that hand injury, was more serious than many of us thought. It actually came out that he had a chip bone at the base of his palm in the right hand, along with the sprained wrist. So anytime you're talking about your shooting hand, I mean, you know, hey, that's all, it's all in the wrist, folks. That's not just a saying. That's the logistics of basketball 101. When you're shooting, that's all your wrist. And if your shooting hand is bothered and you have a chip bone in it, yeah, I can understand why that would take away a lot of your confidence. But the type of player that Keith Appling is and the type of guy that he is from the D, you know, grew up hard nose. He's a doughboy. How about that? I mean, Keith Appling was not going to go down without a fight. So it's so refreshing to see Keith work himself into a groove and, you know, really prove that he can ball in the NBA and that the player that many of us thought was gone after that North Carolina game when Keith went down, hey, there is still some of that left in him. He's a slasher. He's got a lot of speed. He's a defender. I'm just happy to see Keith Appling living out his dream in the NBA. And I do think he can become an effective player. I really do. And looking at the roster of the Orlando Magic, it's interesting because I think he can compete with any of these guards. Right now, looking at, you know, the 2015-16 roster, you know, some of the guards mentioned here, I mean, Evan Fournier, you know, Ben Gordon, Willie Green is another guy, Victor Oladipo, Elfrid Payton. I really like Elfrid Payton, to be honest with you guys. C.J. Watson. It's going to be interesting to see if Keith Ablin can compete with those guys and maybe be a guy that can come off the bench and be productive. Maybe he'll, who knows? Again, it's not so much, you know, when you look at a summer league game, look at it in summer league period, you can't put too much harp on it because it is the summer league. These guys aren't going out there and playing like it's the NBA finals, for goodness sake. And then even in the D-League, I'm not even sure. I haven't watched many D-League games. I'm not sure even how competitive the D-League is, to be honest with you. But I do believe that Keith Ablin can compete with any of those guards on the Orlando Magic roster. And again, we're talking about a guy. Again, going back before that injury, folks, he was a National Player of the Year candidate. Point blank, period. I mean, Keith Ablin, was throwing up crazy numbers, and really putting his talent on a showcase. But it just shows you what an injury can do. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, I think Keith Ablin, I think that's great news for him, but I also think it's a team where he can really succeed. This is a gritty, hard-nosed team. Talk about Alfred Payton, who's a Louisiana boy, hard-nosed too. Really respect him and love his style of play. For those of you who haven't seen him, he's a lot like a young Rajon Rondo. Pass-first guard that's great defensively. So, anyway, I think Keith Ablin will primarily play the point guard position at the Magic. And I think he'll come off the bench, and they'll ask him to score, which is a role he's more than comfortable in. And, of course, Payton is not a shooter either. Payton cannot shoot, in fact. He shoots 26% from beyond the arc. So Ablin will be a nice change of pace guard that'll let him spread the floor a little bit more as well, because, as you know, Oladipo's not a great shooter either.
For newbies that come into the NBA, Isaac, I use the word, situation all the time, because in order, when you talk about playing time and getting opportunities to showcase what you can do, especially when you aren't a highly touted guy coming out of college or coming from the D League and you have to really earn your way in the NBA, you want to come into a situation where you can compete, where there is that window of opportunity for you to come in and make some kind of impact. For some, that window is just cracked. It's limited. While for others, the window is wide open, busted wide open. And, that's why I bring up, a guy like Reggie Jackson, who is balling for the Detroit Pistons right now. We all know about the deal that he got with Stan Van Gundy and company. And, how John Wall of the Washington Wizards was a bit, salty when comparing his NBA contract to that of a guy like Reggie Jackson. Was it right for him to do that? No. But that's another discussion for another day. But, for Reggie Jackson, his situation out in OKC was really tampered, because anytime you come in and having to back up one of the not just best guards in the NBA, but one of the best players in the NBA, you think you're going to be averaging a lot of minutes? No, not at all. So your window, Reggie Jackson's window for him to come in and showcase what he can do was just cracked. Whereas in Detroit, he's got a ton of room to prove what he can do. For Keith Ablin coming to the Orlando Magic, you just broke down the guards. He can compete with any of those guards, I can think, and can really show what he can do there. So for his situation is looking very, very bright. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got one of our favorite callers on line one. My man, Apachu. Apachu, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Good topics again. For years, I've always thought that Nancy Lieberman should have been a first female coach in the NBA. And I happened to see her during the summer league game, so she's still around the game. She's an addict, man. She loves basketball, and I read one of her books, and I saw her when she was playing, and she's incredible as a player, and she loves the game, and I think she would have been good at it. Probably still would be good at it. The other thing is that even though that lady, and I think she could be an NBA coach. I think there's a lot of women out there could be NBA coach,
Certainly.
And a lot of guys.
Right.
They keep recycling the same old men. you know, for the different teams. I don't know how you can lose in one place or three or four places and go to a place else and win.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you got to remember, this is preschool. This is summer league, and everybody's behaving because they want to make the team. So I don't care who the coach is. You could be a coach, and they'd listen to you because they're trying to make a team. Now, if you get a team full of Carmelo Anthony's, you know, and you're in the NBA, how are you gonna deal with that? How do you manage those attitudes? And I haven't seen men that can manage those attitudes, you know, it's hard to watch the game with all these ridiculous attitudes of these multi-millionaires, near-billionaires, and the way they act like kids, preschoolers. And they have so much power because they get paid the big money, and they do influence the game, and they're fun to watch. But I don't think that Summer League championship is indicative of whether or not you can coach in the NBA. I'm sure she can coach in the NBA. She was a WNBA player herself. So I'm not sure that's a good gauge. But anyway, the other thing is, you had a guest, I think it was yesterday, we were talking about Detroit might want to forget the idea of getting to a wild card because it's a one-game series and, you know, it's 50-50 chance and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was Richard Kincaid, Detroit Sports Broadcast.
So you might want to make some trades as a result of that and think about next year. I disagree, man. You know, it's exciting to have a race where you're gonna be the last team to make it possibly, and we need drama. We need something to watch the game for, not just to watch the game because it's baseball. If they're gonna tuck it in, we might as well tuck it in too as fans and not watch TV and not go to the games if that's what they want to do and just fake your way through it. You know, Wasn't it the last team to make it that beat him last year? Beat him out of the series. Who was that team? Was it Kansas City? Wasn't Kansas City the last team to make it last year?
I believe so. I have to double check that for you, Apache.
Yeah, I think it was. And here they are. They're in it again. And how many times have the favorites not make it to the World Championship? You got to get in the dance, man. Ain't no telling what's going to happen once you get in the dance.
Right,
you know,
and
San Francisco has probably got the best program lately. But when you're hot, man, and you got to be hot at the right time. So I disagree with him, man. I want to see some exciting baseball. I want to see him get into be that last team, you know, to get in if they can do it. And in fact, might even try to close those six games or six and a half, whatever it is, and possibly make a run for it. You just don't know. I mean, they got some problems they got to deal with, If we trade for this and trade for that, things are getting better. Oh, it's not that. It's the manager and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm just wondering, at what point in time do they teach these kids how to play basketball or baseball, man? You know, or you just go out and get the big guns. To do that, you don't need coaches. You need Donald Trumps.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Exactly. Now, that's a very good point. And you know what? You bring up an interesting point that I think is very, very noteworthy because – it's so disheartening. If you are a Tigers fan out there and you're watching the game, it's got to be so disheartening to hear all this talk about, you know, this team selling and shipping guys like David Price and Yoenis Cespedes to bring in talent that could, you know, bode well for this team in the future. We're still in July. The Tigers are four games in back as we speak of a wild card spot and do have a shot, you know, when looking at the numbers, of making the playoffs. So as a fan, just like that's a very good point you bring up, Apache, because as a fan, if you're watching this, you want to see the best product that your team, you know, you want to see just the overall top product of your team each and every time they go out. You don't want to see a half-hearted effort. You want that effort to be 100% from the management on down. And to look forward to you know, it's so crazy to me that we're already talking about, in the middle of July, already talking about next year's team when the Tigers legitimately still have a shot to make a playoff berth. That would tick me off, too. And I can respect if a fan out there does not want to support the team anymore and not buy any more tickets to head down to Comerica Park to watch the team.
Not only that, I want a definition of a team. I mean, when do you have a team? Cespedes is going to be here for a year and he's going to be gone. Okay, and then you got Price. Price is here for, what, 2 years, then he's gone. I mean, what's our team? How do you define team? You fall in love with these guys, and they're gone. And it's just constant. They're just playing checkers with all these players and so forth. So what's a team? I mean, what is the concept of a team? And I remember when this is college, too, when guys would stay 4 or 5 years, and you fall in love with them, and you would identify with them, and, hey, man, they could be here 1 year and gone the next. Mm-hmm. You know, and as far as Verlander's concerned, he got paid, man. I got no sympathy for him. He got paid well. He came out ahead, and I think it's unfortunate that you pay players so much money when they're hot, and then their bodies break down, or their mechanics break down, or their energy breaks down, their attitude, something breaks down, and we're stuck with paying all this money, and we can't get a better team because we paid them so much money. I mean, how beautiful to have a job where you can be paid for your potential and not your production, constant production. So they got it made, man. I have no sympathy for Verlander. And I'm appreciative for the things he did, but I don't have any sympathy. I mean, that guy's living good, man. I wouldn't mind living his life.
I'm telling you, man, he is getting paid. And, you know, and when you look at the amount that he's getting paid in his contract, he's got to produce more. He simply does. And, you know, the reason why he got a contract like that, it was based on his past. Well, I mean, the stuff we saw, you know, from JV was stuff of legend, you know, 5 years ago. So the Tigers looked at that and said, okay, if this can be a consistent thing, I mean, we want to keep him here. We don't want him to leave. Let's pay him a boatload of money. And then
Al, have to know as professional people of baseball, in which I am not, that you cannot keep up that peak performance for year after year after year.
Exactly. Okay? Especially
as
a pitcher.
You have to know that. Yeah. Especially for pitchers and catchers. Yeah, I mean, you just can't do that. It's just, I mean, there's too many variables in baseball and other sports. Hey, man, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Great call, Apache. Really appreciate that. Again, if you want to call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I definitely agree. And, you know, when you look at the season, Isaac, because – you know, baseball is an interesting dynamic because you have that trade deadline coming up right before the nitty-gritty of the year when you have to start playing your best baseball. And I want to say this as well. No one is catching Kansas City right now because I don't know if you saw them last night, you know, Kansas City and the Pirates. I mean, that team is unbelievable. That team can win a World Series. Last year wasn't a fluke, folks. The Kansas City Royals are for real. Unbelievable team. I love Lorenzo Cain. I just love that team. They're fantastic. But with that being said, I mean, the Tigers aren't statistically out of this thing. And, you know, all this talk, and you heard Brad Ausmus, you know, Brad Ausmus said, quote, "We are four games out of a wild card spot. I wouldn't say we are falling out of the race. I am disappointed in our record, no question, but I don't subscribe to the theory that we are out of it." And he's right there. He is right. And I think as a manager, yeah. I mean, because I think ideally, you know, Brad Ausmus may be coaching the rest of this season for his job, to keep his job. Because the seat is really, really hot. He's getting criticism from everywhere. Just about every report you report out there and just overall opinion of Brad Ausmus out there is on the fence or just straight up negative. I haven't heard a positive thing about Brad Ausmus really all year, to be honest with you, other than the hot start the Tigers had at the beginning of the season. I don't think Brad Ausmus is the right guy for the job, but making a wild card spot could save his job. So, of course, he's going to say this. But I just really think that right now, especially contractually, when you look at the amount of money that's being shipped around, the Detroit Tigers are trying to get rid of some contracts to free up some room for other players. As a fan, with them making that move, how can you expect the Tigers to make any noise when it comes to the postseason?
Well, I thought Apache had a great point about Justin Verlander because at the end of the day, you rewind the clock until when he got this contract deal, and we see this across sports. We really do. Where players get paid for their past, not the future. We also saw it with A-Rod. So many names could be listed in that category. But Justin Verlander is really the reason the Tigers are in this debacle right now. Because at the end of the day, the Tigers are not the Yankees. They're not a team with limitless pockets who can just dive deeper and deeper into debt to fund players. No, the Tigers have a fixed amount that they can spend. And when they're spending so much on Miggy and JV, Miggy obviously deserves it, but JV no longer does. And that's the reason they can't re-sign David Price this offseason. That's the reason they can't afford to keep Yoenis Cespedes. And that's the reason they should sell, in my opinion.
Yeah, and a quick update on what Apache was talking about, what team eliminated Detroit last year. That was actually the Baltimore Orioles, and they did it in a sweep, if you remember, a 3-0, you know, just series in the wild card where it was done. So, yeah, it was ugly. It's ugly. It is ugly right now this year. What do you think? 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into Barbershop Wednesday and also bring up whether or not we will ever see a female head coach in the NBA. What do you think? Call in. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Got to remind you guys that, hey, this weekend, if you have a little one from the ages of 7 to 14, I guess at 14 you're not that little, right? You're a teenager. Sorry, guys. If you have anyone that you know from the ages of 7 to 14, this weekend, James Moore will be holding his second annual Swap Impact Youth Football Minicamp. You don't want to miss that, folks. You talk about motivational speaking, fundamental drills, speed, agility drills. Really cool stuff. Only $30. More than just a camp. Motivational speaking from former collegiate and professional athletes, as well as local professionals to help impact the lives of our youth in a positive way. It's going to take place at Sexton High School this Saturday and Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., James said, hey, all you got to do is just pull up, drop your little one off, and pay $30, and boom, they will enjoy a two-day event unlike any other. We will also have our Current Sports TV cameras out there, at least on Saturday, and we'll be bringing you a feature of that event on next week's TV show, so you do not want to miss any of that. Well, folks, it is Wednesday. And, on Wednesdays here on the show, we love to embrace debate from time to time. We dub it Barbershop Wednesday because you guys know, especially, my guys from Detroit, you guys know when you go and get a fly cut in the D, everyone thinks they're the next Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith. I mean, everyone thinks they're a sports expert, right? Especially me. I mean, in my hometown, anytime I go get a cut there, my hometown barber, everyone knows what I do for a living. So when I come in, it's an instant sports discussion from the time I'm sitting there waiting to get in the chair, from the time I'm in the chair to the time I'm hitting the door. I mean, it nonstop sports. I'm getting barraged with questions and debates, and it gets pretty heated. So we love to embrace debate and dub it Barbershop Wednesday. And, our caller so eloquently stated, and voiced his opinion on the subject. Of course, with Becky Hammon of the San Antonio Spurs, former WNBA star who was working under the tutelage on the coaching staff with Greg Popovich and company, she actually coached the San Antonio Spurs Summer League team to the title. To the title. How about that? So, many people are out there wondering whether or not this will cause a lot of headway in favor of women in the NBA to possibly become head coaches. Has the needle been lifted a bit or moved at all? What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. It is time for Barbershop Wednesday.
We can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. This ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
All right, folks, it's time for Barbershop Wednesday. Now, Becky Hammon, again, she made history becoming the first female head coach in the NBA Summer League, leading the San Antonio Spurs to the Las Vegas Summer League Championship. That made the experience had to that much sweeter. She actually coached the Spurs to a 93-90 victory over the Phoenix Suns on Monday in the title game. So, there are many out there that look at this accomplishment and look at the fact that, first off, Becky Hammon was even a head coach in the Summer League, the NBA Summer League. Many people are looking at it and now debating, Isaac, whether or not this will lead to something big. And what I mean by something big as, whether or not we will see a female become a head coach in the NBA anytime soon. Becky Hammon, she knows her stuff, obviously. She knows the game. She's a former player in the WNBA. She's working under Greg Popovich. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you talk about a guy who knows the game, right? Working on somebody who knows the game. I mean, Greg Popovich, I mean, he's got championships coming out of his pocket right now. She knows, of course, the X and O's, like, you know, with the best of them, I'm sure. So with this, you know, leading the Spurs to this title, do you think that this will lead to something down the line in the future for maybe Becky to become a head coach in the NBA, or for any woman for that matter to become a head coach in the NBA anytime recently? What do you think?
Al, I actually think yes. And we briefly touched on this yesterday. And of course, there's the political side of it. And that's the thing, because we're not really questioning whether Becky has the experience or the skills to be an NBA head coach. She clearly does. She was an WNBA top 15 player of all time, according to ESPN. She's absolutely phenomenal, and she worked her way up from the bootstraps. She was undrafted in the NBA, actually, and then worked her butt off to become a star. And we talked about coaches under Greg Popovich tend to go on to do pretty well. If you're wondering about that, just Google Greg Popovich coaching tree. He's
crazy. Yeah.
Birth to like so many NBA coaches.
Right.
So, yes, I think Becky Hammon eventually will have a job. And the reason is fan opinion. I thought Apache made a great point about recycling head coaches in the NBA. We see all these head coaches that don't really succeed one time around with good teams and then go on to keep coaching. No offense, sorry for calling out names, but Byron Scott. He did not do great with New Orleans. Why is he coaching LA right now? Another example, Mike Brown. So, no, I think it's time for a fresh face. And I think fans would be in favor of this. And I think there's got to be one GM out there willing to look past the gender. So, that's my opinion.
Well, you know, there's a few layers to this discussion. The first being, again, you brought up politics. And that's kind of the point I took yesterday, and I stand by today. First off, I do think and I do believe that if you were to hire Becky Hammon or any female as a head coach in the NBA, it's going to garner a lot of attention. And it's going to make your organization look good, without a doubt. I mean, people are going to want to tune in just to see, you know, a female working the sidelines. You know, something that's never happened before. You're talking about history here, making history. So it's going to garner a lot of attention from a PR standpoint. You know, ESPN is going to be there doing interviews, and it's going to just generate a lot of hoopla around the squad, which is good. You know, hey, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, any attention is good attention when you are trying to be relevant in the media. So there's that angle to it. There's, you know, the reason why I don't think, to answer the question, the reason why I don't think we are going to see it happen is simply because of politics and egos. And again, Apache brought up a lot of points in his call. And that was the point I was going to take today, which I'm going to take right now. You are dealing with grown men. Being an NBA coach, first off, any coach who's in the NBA knows the X's and O's. You know, that's nothing new. I think that just about every coach who is manning the sidelines for an NBA team knows how the game is played, knows strategy, is going to try and enact that strategy. They know the X and O's of basketball. But in the NBA, more so specifically the NBA, because, you know, you have these big contracts, you have guys who are trying to add to their respective legacies. How many times have we seen superstars link up? You got the prima donna attitudes. You have a lot of egos to deal with in the NBA. And the criticism that comes with that, and, you know, hey, it's a gender criticism. Whether or not a female can manage a male's ego in the NBA, that's something that's yet to be answered because we haven't seen that happen before. A male, I guarantee a male may have, you know, may feel a certain way if a female is coming at him telling him how he should be doing his job. I'm just going to be real with you. There are certain NBA players in the league right now that if a female was the head coach and seriously chewed that individual out, that male is going to have something to say about it. Heck, I saw a feature, an unbelievable feature that ESPN did on NBA referees. And they did a feature. I forget the ref who they profiled. I forget her name, but she became one of the first female referees in the game. And it was so amazing because she was hired around the 80s. And she tells a story of guys like, you know, we're talking like legends of the game, guys like Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. And, you know, how those guys, when they saw this female referee, you know, refereeing these NBA games, they made comments about it. And they said, man, I don't know how you're doing it, first off. This is a man's game. I mean, these respective legends had those comments to say. And, you know, she ignored them and continued to do her job. And she eventually became one of the best NBA referees in the game today. I'm gonna get her name before we sign off this air because it was an unbelievable feature that I think people need to watch. But it's that type of criticism. Just imagine if a referee gets that type of criticism. Just imagine what an NBA female head coach is going to get. You know what I mean? So I do think that managing egos is going to be the big hurdle. And when a GM thinks about, can you handle our team? Can you put two hands on the steering wheel and make sure that this car doesn't veer off the road? Can you do that? Can you put those personalities in check? Can you chew out that player and garner respect? That is the big conversation and the reason why I don't think we will see it in recent years, because that is going to take time. If it does happen in the recent future here, like 3 to 5 years, I think that, you know, one of the big reasons it will, and I hate to say this, is going to be to garner attention for that respective program.
Ow, but, okay, let me try to rebut that, because the thing is, you look at that, but NBA coaches don't have good control of their players right now. Look at Eric Spoelstra in Miami. He said his players were crying in the locker room to the media, got chewed out by Dwayne Wade and the LeBron. Then there were reports from ESPN. I quote, LeBron emasculated David Blatt during the finals.
But here's the thing, though. Eric Spoelstra has a ring. He's done. I won't
say
this,
David
Isaac.
David Blatt, then?
I think that Eric Spoelstra is an underrated NBA coach.
I do, too.
To manage the egos of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, I mean, that's a lot. And he was able to do that, and he's got a ring. So, hey, I mean, he's won a ring. David Blatt, he got all the way to the NBA Finals in his first season. Come on now, Isaac.
I don't think either are bad coaches. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying those egos, they couldn't really control LeBron. They couldn't cap LeBron's ego because LeBron somewhat embarrassed both of them. Now, at the end of the day, they seem like more reserved figures than certain head coaches. You don't see them on the sidelines like Tom Thibodeau, Greg Popovich, red in the face the whole time. But if a female head coach has an aggressive demeanor, I think she can handle that just fine if players recognize that she can handle the game and knows the game. The other thing is,
but it takes more than knowing the game, though.
Of course.
We're not talking X's and O's when we have this discussion. We're talking about respect at the end of the day. Whether or not the egos that a lot of these NBA guys have, will they respect a female head coach, especially if things aren't going right? Just imagine if this head coach comes in and the team starts off rocky and they're losing games, they're on like a losing streak. You better believe there are going to be heated discussions in practices and there's going to be some bite back. Whether or not that individual, that female, can handle that and say, hey, I'm the head coach of this team, this is how it's going to go down.
Well,
that's the question here.
Out with maybe with players with huge egos, this shouldn't happen, but we're beginning to see more and more team-based organizations such as the Chicago Bulls, Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, just to name a few, and other teams are modeling after that where they're not going after players like Carmelo Anthony, like Lance Stephenson, with these massive egos that could conflict with coaches, because that's why Rajon Rondo's out of Boston right now, because he had arguments with Brad Stevens and they chose the coach over that player. That's a continuous trend. I think Becky Hammon could do just fine. And that's assuming she got off to a rocky start. If she came in just like Kerr, Budenholzer, any of those guys, and started winning immediately, what's there to argue about?
And it all
depends. Wins earn respect.
And situation. That's another word that you can bring up in this conversation, too, because, you know, hey, if she comes into a situation where she doesn't have the immense talent that, another, you know, and we all know how top-heavy the NBA is. I mean, you got superstars left and right linking up with each other and playing on certain teams. She comes in and has to, you know, coach a team like maybe, what, the New York Knicks or something like that, and it starts losing games, you better believe that the media backlash and the public opinion is going to be ugly.
Do you think so, though?
I do
because
think.
For the
I
Knicks?
Do think. Because if they lose, whatever squad it is, any team that hasn't done well, that you know, the bottom barrel teams of the NBA, if she comes in and coach one of those teams and they're not doing well and they don't start off well and they don't even make the playoffs, that she's going to be highly criticized. And the organization is going to be questioned whether or not this was the right hire. I want to open this up for fun. We only got 9 minutes left. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Call in right now. We got to hit our second break and bring you this DeWitt cheerleading feature. But don't touch that dial, folks. You better believe this discussion is not over just yet, okay? We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, our Barbershop Wednesday question of the day is, will we ever see a female NBA head coach? If you don't want to call in, if you're a bit shy, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And that referee I was talking about, who received backlash as one of the very first female referees in the NBA, is Violet Palmer. If you have not checked out that story, you need to check it out because, again, it talks about comments from, again, NBA legends here and their displeasure about a woman refereeing an NBA basketball game. You got to check it out, and it kind of is a great segue right into that conversation as well. Before we get off the airwaves here, we're going to bring to you a pretty cool feature right now. The DeWitt High School varsity cheerleading team has been selected to perform before an international audience this month. The team will be participating in the 39th All Japan High School Cultural Festival at the invitation of the Japanese government. 17 team members and two coaches left this week for Aotsu in the Shiga Prefecture or state. Actually, that prefecture is the sister state to Michigan. The group will be returning on July 30th. And I actually took a trip out there to talk to the team about this remarkable accomplishment. The perfect sign of patriotism. The DeWitt Varsity Girls competitive cheer team letting go of red, white, and blue balloons on this sunny morning. Right before boarding a bus to Metro Detroit Airport.
Okay. It's going to be a good spot with the
lunch. I need to
just like the tire.
Which will take them to Japan.
The team will be the lone example of competitive cheer in the U.S. of A. Chosen by the Japanese government as the only American cheer team to participate in the 39th All Japan High School Cultural Festival.
Our coach told us she had a Christmas present for us, and so each senior like brought a box and they all pulled out signs that said, "We're going to Japan."
They all held it up one at a time and it says, "We are going to Japan." And they all had flags on it and we were like blown away.
The Shiga Prefecture, or state, in Japan is hosting this year's festival. And for the Panthers, this trip wasn't the product of blind luck. For one, DeWitt already has close ties with Japan, sending exchange students there every year. And two, the varsity cheer program has been a powerhouse in Michigan for a long time, finishing runner-up in states this past March.
We started cheer young all together. We had a great seventh grade team, which was our very first competitive team. And since then, we've honestly just continue to grow.
We're not only representing DeWitt, which we're used to representing just DeWitt, got to represent DeWitt, but now it's not only DeWitt, not only Michigan, but the whole United States.
Head coach Deb Rambo puts a bow on her 27th and final year as head coach of the program, using this event as a platform to dispel, in a way, the always present criticism within the sport of competitive cheer.
There are some out there that don't think that competitive cheer is a sport. What's your response to that?
I have dealt with that since I started in 1985, and I've always treated them as an athlete. Their bodies have to be conditioned. Tumbling has become very important, and for them to be able to perform the skills, their body has to be in condition.
When I think about cheer, I just think Mrs. Rambo, because she has coached football season for so many years and also competitive.
For her to leave and take the trip to Japan with us means the world. She deserves it.
And you never guess what they are looking forward to the most in Japan.
We are going to a puppet museum, a castle, and a ninja village.
What is a ninja village? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
I guess we just like dress up as warriors and stuff.
What are you looking forward to the most? Is it the ninja training? Is that what it's called?
We're going to be like throwing ninja stars and stuff like that. So it'll be an experience for all of us.
How cool is that? What you just heard was actually the voices of Peyton Dassey of DeWitt. She's a senior cheerleader there. Liz Zunker, who is also a senior, and Caitlin Greenhow, who is also a senior with the team as well. And, of course, also Deb Rambo, who is in her 27th and final year as head coach of the DeWitt varsity cheer team. But great stuff. Great stuff. I mean, you know, to be selected – to go partake in an event like that and represent the USA in a sport, you know, like competitive cheer. I mean, that's great stuff. So hats off to the DeWitt varsity competitive cheer team. Again, if you want to check out the visual of that report, you'll get to see it this week on Current Sports TV. Tune in this Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. It was a great time going out there. And I really do think that, you know, competitive cheer needs to get more press than it does. Because these girls, I mean, they put their heart and soul into what they do. And, I mean, again, the preparation that takes place within this sport is truly amazing. I think anyone who criticizes the sport and thinks that it's not a sport really needs to see it up close and personal. And I believe that if you do, you'll walk out there with your mind completely changed. So definitely looking forward to that. All right, Isaac, well, final thoughts on today's show. I wish we had more time for Barbershop Wednesday. We're going to actually continue that discussion because I'm sure you've got more things that you want to bring up and say about it. But final thoughts on today's show, my man.
Oh, great show. I definitely would also say I think Becky Hammon deserves a coaching job, and I think you agree.
I agree.
She deserves one just based on talent. And then just for music, big hip-hop head, so – my boys from Seattle, Brothers from Another, actually dropped a new album today. 3,000 followers on SoundCloud. So if you like funk, hip hop, check them out.
Dig that. And of course, you know I'm a big hip hop head. I tell you what, probably the main story that everyone's talking about right now is the beef between Meek Mill and Drake that took place on Twitter. Meek Mill calling out Drake and saying that he doesn't write his own material. Oh, it got ugly. It got ugly, folks. If you haven't seen that story, look that one up, okay? They've been talking about it everywhere. All right, well, that wraps up today's show. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic and lovely hump day. And be easy, people.